Well, good morning. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." In the latter part of 2019 and early 2020, President Trump was making his rounds to these different rallies and getting ready to run for re-election. And in Wisconsin, there were thousands of people cheering, and he boasted of the might of the military that he had rebuilt, the booming economy that he was responsible for creating. He boasted about the killing of an Iranian general by a missile from a drone at his command. America and her president were doing very well. We're in need of nothing and no one. We have an unstoppable economy, and no military dares challenge us. Anyone who does will be squashed without mercy. That was on January 14th. On January 20th, there was a report of a microscopic virus having invaded America. And on March 13th, less than 2 months after his rally in Wisconsin, with thousands of people sick and hundreds of people dead, the stock market plummeting, Donald Trump asked that Sunday, March 15th, be declared a day of prayer. I was struck by how in our minds and in our way of thinking, America was looking pretty untouchable. And a microscopic organism literally brings her to her knees. I'd like to read Psalm 2 to you this morning. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And then in verse 6, it switches. Up until now, it's been David talking about God. Now it's God talking. "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son." So now this is Jesus talking. "This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the other uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." And now he speaks directly to the leaders. "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." I've been struck in seeing the whole coronavirus thing, and we really don't know much about it. We're kind of isolated from it here a little bit, at least at this point. From what I understand, the scene in Detroit and New York and LA, some of these places, is much different than here. But I've noticed and seen a difference in how people respond depending on their view of God. And I want to remind us again, I want to thank the Lord with you this morning, that we have a God that doesn't change. When he boasts about his abilities and his power and his goodness, his everything, his abilities, there's no chance that suddenly something will surface that he wasn't ready for or something that he hadn't thought of. He sits in the heavens and laughs when these rulers of earth say, let's throw off his rule, let's do it our own way, let's do it ourselves. He doesn't even get up. He doesn't have to get up to deal with it. He just sits there and laughs. But then speaks unto them in his wrath and says, I have set my king upon my holy hill. We have a king who has been set by the Lord of Lords, by the God of Gods, and we know that he is truly King of Kings and will never fade away. And now I'd like to read to you from Psalm 4. Psalm 4 says, Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But I know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Something I'll just put in here. When we read the Psalms, we can pray the Psalms, and it's actually a really good practice to pray the Psalms. So some verses like this, verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. So when I sit here and I pray, Lord, you know, I thank you that you've set me apart because I'm godly. We might feel, well, can I really call myself godly? Many, well, all of the Psalms literally can be prayed. When we pray the Psalms, some of them we can pray in our own mind. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's something we can imagine. That's something that we can visualize and is a reality for us through God. But here, when something like this, for instance, where we're calling ourselves godly, we are praying this, you could say vicariously. We're praying it in the name of Jesus, because of Jesus, because I am in him, I have a right to say this. Jesus fulfilled and obeyed every letter of the law, every jot, every tittle. And so he truly was righteous. He truly was godly. He truly, all of these things, he truly and completely was and did. So now as I am in him, it's not of my own merit, it's not of my own strength, but as I am in him, I too can pray the Psalms as a follower of Christ. So when I pray, when I say, I know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, and I apply that to me, that is because I am in Christ, and in Christ I am godly. In Christ I am righteous. So that's just something that's a real value for us to understand about the Psalms. We can truly apply all the Psalms to ourselves through Christ. So, going on to verse 3, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. What do we think about when we're laying in bed in times like these? Do we commune with God? Do we muse about God in our own heart? Do we think about him? It's been a challenge for me lately. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Look up, look at us, raise your face and look at us. You know, if God was just kind of looking off and distracted, he's saying, look at us, shine your face on us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Is that true of us? Some of us are experiencing some budget crunches right now. Some of us are experiencing some, it's just different. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. And verse 8 is just a precious promise. Again, something we may not think we can pray on our own, but through Christ and by His grace, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. We don't know what's coming. We don't know how bad it's going to get. We don't know what to expect. But we know that wherever we are, the Lord is there. Now I'd like to go to Psalm 121. Very familiar psalm. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Remember that. Take that with you, church. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're experiencing in all of this. Some of us are much more affected by this than others, I'm sure. I trust that you can continue to trust in the Lord, that we all can have our reliance, our salvation in Him. I challenge those of us who maybe have, I guess this is a way of praise. My percentage of fence that I do anymore is not agriculture. Agricultural fence is not a huge percentage of my work anymore, if I can say this right. I've gone much more into chain link and ornamental, aluminum, privacy fence, that kind of thing. That's just where the demand has been lately. Well, with what's going on, I feel comfortable doing agricultural fence, but I can't even get permits for yard fences and whatever in a lot of cases. So we've not been doing anything like that. We've decided we're only going to do agricultural fence. So we may not have much work, but we'll do what we can in that area and try to honor the authorities. And wouldn't you know, I don't have a single yard fence that yes, I do. I have one I could do right now, I guess, but he can't get a permit, so I can't do that one. I have several farm jobs, good-sized jobs, desirable jobs lined up. I told Jay, I don't think it's a coincidence that at the same time that we're not able to do the other kinds of fence, that it's the farm fence people that are calling. So I want to praise the Lord for that. And I guess I'll say here again too, I said it last week in our message or somewhere here, that if you are experiencing hardship, if you're having a hard time making ends meet, there are those of us who can help. I really do want to know about that. We want to know about that. Share that with people if you care to. Another aspect of this, while on one hand we can trust the Lord and be thankful that we do know the Lord and look around at those who don't and wish they did, something that I think can be a danger here for us is that We feel that America needs to repent, but we don't. The general public, the general population ought to be crying out to God because of all of this. But we're Christians and, we're not the ones that need to repent here in this situation. In Ezra 9 and 10, it describes Ezra realizing the sin of Israel. And in Daniel chapter 9, it describes Daniel reading and understanding the scriptures and that Israel is being judged for her sins. Both of these men, from what we can see, were godly men. We don't read of any major failures or anything in their lives that I'm aware of. But in both instances, we see these godly men going before the Lord in repentance. And in both cases, it says that they confess and they're begging God for forgiveness for their sin, personal sin, and the sin of their people. I believe we would do well to confess our sin and the sins of our country. And that's another thing that's kind of a little different than we're used to thinking of. Again, Daniel and Ezra both, and we read of Job, different people confessing sins of others. I'm not sure how that works or how all that plays out. But I don't think there's anything wrong with us. In fact, I think it's very appropriate for us to go on our knees before the Lord, confessing that we, America, have sinned and that we as a people have not been all that we can be, that we've maybe often been silent when we could have spoken up. Maybe we've often walked by on the other side of the street when the poor man headed to Jericho is laying there in need. Some things I wrote down that if you're having trouble thinking of things to confess, I can help you with a list. Materialism. I heard a message again this week. If you want to text me, I can share a link with you. Or you can just Google, go on YouTube and look for John D. Martin. He has a number of messages, but he talks in the one, and I wish now I'd remember the title. I should have written that down, but it's concerning wealth, and it's concerning our how we handle our wealth and our responsibility. And he makes it very easy for us to see that we do have materialism. I think every one of us is guilty of materialism. So there's a place we could start. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's a quote from the scriptures, and it's a sign of the end times. That's definitely true of America. I'm afraid it's true of many of us to a larger degree than we want it to be. So there's another one. Trusting in ourselves instead of God. Maybe Donald isn't the only one learning that he needs to realize there's a higher power and not just him that's making everything go. In my own little world, I can think I'm making things go pretty well. So trusting in ourselves instead of God is one that I believe we could confess. The sin of unbelief is definitely an American sin. We have creation versus evolution is an ongoing debate. We have the sin of abortion. We have murder. Millions and millions of babies, far more than any virus has ever killed. I'm sure there's many others you can think of. Some things that I would say instead of, that we can pray for, instead of, as we confess and repent of those, let's instead pray for a love of God. You know, that's the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And then the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So a growing love of God and a love for our fellow man. And along with this thing of materialism, a pilgrim mindset, an illustration I heard, I think it was in that same message from John Martin. A tourist was visiting and he named this certain religious, as a monk or something, that he was a rabbi maybe. I think it was a rabbi. And he went into this man's house and there was just almost nothing. The house was bare and he had just a little stool there and, you know, a couch and a table and a stool and I don't know, just very, very little furnishings. And this visitor asked, well, where's your furniture? And the rabbi said, well, where's yours? And he said, well, I don't have anything with me. I'm just a tourist. I'm not here for long. And he said, so am I. And I don't know if that's a true story. A lot of those stories, you wonder where they come from. But I think it's a good illustration. I had to think, you know, sometimes when we go somewhere, I kind of kid my wife about how much stuff she likes to bring along. You know, we take a lot of things along when we travel. But do I look like someone who's traveling? Am I packing light or am I settling in and I'm here for a while? A pilgrim mindset. I'm just passing through. I think that's something we can pray for. Lord bless you all. Again, I love you all, miss you all, and look forward to when we can be back together again. I heard today that our governor is almost certainly going to extend our stay-at-home order at least through the end of the month. So doesn't look like we'll be getting together anytime soon. By way of announcement, some of you have wondered what about the finances at church. The general fund is actually in pretty good shape right now. We're not hurting there. The only place that's been lacking would have been for home missions. So last month, there was not enough money for all of those serving overseas. But John Freeman's fund had been allocated for overseas missions. So we decided to use that fund last month to support those that are working overseas and also to send some money to Nepal that was due. This month, there is almost enough in the fund. Some of you have already sent money. Thank you for that. So there's almost enough there for us not to have to use John Freeman's fund. But if you want to send money, if you do want to give rather than sitting on it until we get back to having regular services or whatever, you can mail that to Howard and Louetta or drop it off, whatever you prefer. But you can get that to Howard's and they'll deposit those, you know, a couple times a month or whatever as they come in if you want to do that. One thing they did ask, Howard said, if you send money, please designate it to a certain fund so that he doesn't have to decide where it goes. So you can, just whichever fund you want to put it in, missions fund, or there's the general fund, the building fund, all of these different funds. You can just designate where you want it to go, please, so that they know where to put it. Probably any of you that have Facebook know this, but there is a Facebook page, Lynn and Vonda. I think Vonda set it up. So, if you have any questions about that, you can let them know, or just go ahead and check it out. And some of you have been posting on there, and, it's a good way for us to see a little bit of what's going on in each other's lives. And something else that I came across today as I was looking at this is I was reminded that I had preached a message a while back about a microscopic bug making me so sick. And that message is on February 24th. And I actually went back and listened to that. And I was, I guess, challenged again. In that message, I share a number of things that I had learned in my week of being sick and down and out. And I guess a lot of it I'm hearing today and realizing I need to learn again. So, I just encourage you, if you want. I think us here now, it made good sense to me and was very applicable to me at the time, because I had just been sick and just been through it, and I was sharing things I had learned. But now this is a lot of this is very relevant to what we're experiencing right now. So that's on the church website, February 24th of 2019. Right here is probably where I ought to say that, if I'm going to sound professional, I'm going to need to put in a plug to please support the ministry, and anything you can, anything you share, would really be appreciated and all that. But I'm not wanting to be that professional, so I'm not going to ask for funds to support our program. So, Lord bless you all. I was told that we could put in a plug that for a gift of any kind, a donation of any kind to our ministry, we will send you absolutely free this week's bulletin. So I guess you can consider that. That's just me being funny, trying to be. I think I'm failing. Lord bless you all. We'll see you, and let's just keep looking up, keep our eyes on Jesus, and be praying for each other. And Lord bless you all real good. Thank you.